All right, praise the Lord on this October. Getting a little chilly outside. Lord's Day Sunday morning. And the next month's November, so I guess it ain't going to be long. People going to put clothes on, amen? I kind of like the cold weather. I'm like my pastor. He said one thing he liked about it, he said he didn't have to worry about people running around half clothed. And we shouldn't do that anyway. But anyway, in the hour we're living in, I'm just wondering if we ain't done down to the point. Everybody's doing that which they think's right in their own eyes. They don't follow anybody's rule. Even our own country seem like they've stepped down on laws, regulations, just trying to stretch and move the landmark, I guess, for laws and decency and stuff. And what's going on in our schools right now really concerns me. And they're saying parents don't have a say and what their children are being taught. I don't know about that. I don't have any children in school, but if I did, I'd be like the other parents. I'd be right there saying, don't tell me. I don't have a say what my children's being taught. And the best thing they could do would be what that one black lady said. We just need to exodus our children out of the public schools, and that will speak a language they can understand. Before we start our Sunday school lesson this morning, which will be in Daniel chapter 10. We got some people requesting prayer. We're going to go to God in prayer. And then we'll go to our Sunday school lesson. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the great mercy. Lord, the great compassions. Lord, that you have, Father, they fail not. Your mercies are new every morning. And Lord, it seems like every morning we need your mercies. We pray, Father, Lord, for these, Lord. Lord, requesting prayer, Lord, for their health. Lord, for pain, Lord, for sickness and for struggling, Lord, in many ways, Lord, you're a very present help in trouble.
Yes, Father.
And Lord, you said I'll not leave you comfortless. You said I will come to you. And even though doctors don't make house calls no more, Lord, you do.
Yes,
you visited my house this morning.
Yes, Father.
You visit there often. I told you as often as you want to. You come visit me at my home anytime you want to. But I pray, Father God, this morning for Brenda Goth. Lord, we just put her in your tender care. Lord, by way of humble prayer. Lord, just pray you'd visit her with healing in your wings. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, that Lord, you'd minister, Lord, to her. Lord, her hurt and Lord, her sickness. Pray you'd heal her with divine healing. Pray, Father God, Lord, you'd bless her when you do it. And make it, Lord, I pray a testimony, Lord, for your praise and glory. We just lift up to you, Lord, in humble prayer. Pray, Father God, for Sister Tammy this morning. Lord, she's been on the weather. Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for Daryl Tibbs, Lord. Lord, got COVID. A lot of people, Lord, got COVID right now. And, Lord, we just pray for them, Lord. You said if there's any sick among us, Lord, to call for the elders of church and let them pray over them. We're praying over them, Lord. We pray, Father God, Lord, for Lord, others, Lord, it's Sister Joanne, Lord, Lord, just always needing prayer, Lord. We pray for her, pray for Kay. Lord, she said she didn't want to be on that dialysis again. We pray for her and Brother Mark. Pray, God, Lord, you'd help them. They're getting frail. Lord, we just got a long list, Lord, of people, Lord. I think Kay failed, Lord, and we want you, Lord, to visit them, want you to help them. Lord, you're good. You're the good shepherd, Lord. You come to your sheep. You tend to your flock. And I pray, God, Lord, you would visit these, Lord. And, Lord, there's others, Lord. We certainly couldn't name them all. But we want to remember them all and ask, Lord God, you visit them all. Ask, Lord God, they'd all be able to say that the Lord had helped them, Lord. And, Lord, for whatever you do, we thank you and praise you. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible talks about if somebody's got a problem in Hebrews chapter 13, talks about remember them as being yourself in the body. That's kind of like making it personal. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 3, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. It makes prayer personal. When you pray for someone like you'd want them to pray for you, right. If that was you that had COVID, or if that was you that was in the hospital, or if that was you that was maybe having fearful problems, maybe having struggles, maybe having challenges in life, remember them like you'd want people to pray for you. It helps you to pray. It does me.
Amen.
I make it personal. Huh?
Yes.
And I like it praying like that. Amen.
That's right.
Daniel chapter 10. Teach this. Let me say a couple things here real quick. Kind of pertinent. My cause is getting knocked off of air, but people don't really pay attention to what's going on. Our Secretary of Transportation, his name is Pete Buttigieg. I think I said that right. He's on paid maternity leave right now. He and his husband's name's Chasen, I guess that's a pretty good name for him, have adopted newborn twins. And so don't worry about all these supply chain woes, because he's on paid leave on your dime. And he's been on paid leave for 3 months now. You try that.
That's right.
Superman's son, Marvel Comics, is coming out with a new comic book. And somehow Superman married Lois Lane. And they had a son. And his son's John Kent. And he's come out as being queer. And he's failed for a pink-haired male reporter named Jay Kakamura. I know you ain't going to get this anywhere. That's why I'm throwing it out there. I just want you to see how bad it's become.
Yeah.
I want you to see what direction we're going in.
That's right.
I want you to at least ply the brakes. And this 2,700-page infrastructure bill that they're trying to push through, legislation, it's called the most radical ever bill to be unleashed upon America. And the sum right now as I'm speaking, which is going to go up, but right now as I'm speaking, it's $4.3 trillion. I want to tell you one more thing, but I'll tell that later. Make you stay tuned. But anyway, that's just an update on some of the events going on in our country. Daniel had a lot of events going on,
Brother,
in his day.
That Buddha judge you talking about there, he's the governor of
he was.
Fort Wayne.
Yeah, he was. He got promoted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he got promoted to the Secretary of Transportation.
Okay.
He's over all these boxcars out there in the bay. They can't get nobody to unload them.
Oh.
Can't get no trucks to pick them up. He's the man in charge of all that. He's kind of like our vice president that's, the borders are, they just don't show up.
Okay.
That's what it's all about. We're paying for nothing is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a lot of problems in Daniel's day, and I want you to know God was there for Daniel, and he helped him through his problems. Daniel didn't understand the events of his day just like I don't understand the events of our day. And my pastor very well said one day, what we're seeing is we're victims of prophecy. The Word of God is going to be fulfilled. It's not up to me. It's not up to you. God set the calendar date when His Son will come back.
Yeah.
He told us what was going to happen in the meantime, and we're watching it. And every jot, every tittle is being fulfilled, just like Jesus described it in Luke 21, in Matthew 24, and any other places in the Word of God. Well, in Daniel's day, it says here in verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true. Every word of God is true.
Yeah.
But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. And it'd probably be good for us to do a little of that.
Yeah,
I think we've been doing more feasting than we have mourning. He said, and you can tell my double chin, I've been eating pretty good. They took me to a restaurant, I have to admit. We may get to hit it one more time, be three times. It's pretty good eating. I like to eat. My pastor said, y'all go ahead and abstain from country ham and fried taters. He said, I'm going to go ahead and eat them. He said, I just won't live two more weeks in the nursing home like you will, suffering all that food in there. I'm going to eat my food now while I can enjoy it.
That's right.
But Daniel says, verse 3, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Remember, he's mourning. He's mourning because of things going on, like what we see in our day,
yeah,
that he don't want, that he don't like, and he's hoping that it'll somehow change. He's mourning what he's seeing going on in his day.
Yeah.
He said, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, I hope I'm saying that right, Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man. You know, you want to get God's attention. You fast and pray and humble yourself. That's what Daniel's doing.
Yeah.
He's wanting God to come and help him in the matter of this vision. That's why he said he got understanding. He got it from God.
Yeah.
But he's mourning and fasting because he wants God to help him understand completely this stuff going on in his day and time. And then he said, I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Upaz. His body also was like the beryl,
yeah,
and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now John, on the Isle of Patmos, he had same visit. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. Well, let me back up here a little bit. John says in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia, and unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. I started to read verse 13. Here's where they identify with one another. He said, in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. You remember, as Daniel's describing here, talking about clothed in linen, loins girded about with fine gold, body was like beryl. He said, and his feet were like unto brass, as if they burned in the furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. I just want you to know they both had very similar vision.
Yes.
Both visions pertain to the same thing. And Daniel saw what he saw, and John saw what he saw, which was incarnated body of Christ. And he said, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me, John, he's by himself. He's been exiled on the Isle of Patmos.
Yeah.
There was no one with him to see his vision. But Daniel says, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. When God shows up, you can forget about strutting your stuff.
That's right.
When God shows up, you're going to look for a hiding place.
That's right.
And that's what they did. They run plumb out of their shoes. They might not have seen nothing, but they felt a great quaking, and with fear, they fled to hide themselves.
Right.
Daniel says, "Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." Daniel in his day was exceptional, but in the presence of Christ, he took on the look of corruption.
Yeah.
Instead of taking on the look of godliness. And Daniel, you know, there wasn't no one like him in his kingdom. And yet, boy, he turned to corruption when he saw
right.
this one that he saw.
Right.
Verse 9, he says, "Yet heard I the voice of his words." You know, you can hear God's word today if you'll turn some things off.
That's right.
It's kind of hard sometimes to hear God's word when we got everything playing so loud, or we're so fixed on what we're looking at or what we're listening to that we're deaf to the word of God. But that still small voice of God still spoke to me this week. I don't know how many times. He done changed the message several times this week. And you know, it's important to every preacher to understand that he's just a messenger boy.
Yeah.
And I was telling Brother Ed about hearing this preacher preach on the radio. Doctrinally, he wasn't right, but he'd done a good job preaching. But he mentioned on the radio, "My Bible tells me that you got to endure to the end to be saved." Now listen, that makes for good preaching, but doctrinally, it's not true. We're saved by grace
right.
through faith, that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But that verse that he used out of Matthew 24, that is a tribulation passage that he took that verse out of.
Yeah.
And in the tribulation, they will have to endure the tribulation to be saved. There'll be people get saved in the tribulation.
Right.
They'll have to have the testimony of Jesus. They'll have to keep the commandments of Moses.
Oh,
and they'll have to love not their lives unto death. They'll have to endure all of that to be saved, but there will be some that will do that. Matter of fact, John said, "Who are these?" And the angel said, "These are they that came out of great tribulation."
Yeah.
We just got little tribulation, and even though we murmur and complain, me and Donnie was talking yesterday about how much we do murmur and complain, and we do. We just got light affliction. These people, I'm telling you, they're going to want to die, and the Bible says that death will flee from them. They won't even be able to die. I guess that's why all these zombie movies, there'll probably be people in the tribulation with their head blown off, they'll still be alive. They won't be allowed to die. Jump off of bridges, jump in front of cars, jump off of mountains, get in a cage with a bear. You won't be able to die in the tribulation. You know why? Because they're going to drink of the seven vials of the wrath of God.
Yeah.
God's going to get His pleasure with all He's put up. When He serves these vials, they're going to understand they made a big mistake.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. They're going to get what they deserve. Mm-hmm. He said, Yet heard I the voice of His words. God's words are a little different than mine.
Yeah.
Mine really ain't got no substance to them. But God spake everything into existence. When He said, "Let there be light," there was light.
That's right.
He commanded, it stood still. When He said, "Let there be dry land showed up. Hey, when He said, "Let there be living things in the water," it started coming to be. I'm just telling you, He commanded everything to be. Somebody said, "Well, who made God?" He is the reason everything is.
That's right.
Thank God He is. I can only imagine if someone else was in control.
That's true.
And I've tried to understand the love of God, Sister Bonnie, and I can't. But God loves us so greatly that we can't even understand the love of God. The Bible says God is love. And if God so loved us, the Bible says we should love one another. We don't.
That's right.
But He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But it was an act of love. Even the Son, in love, gave Himself into the will of the Father and said, not my will, but thine be done. It was an act of love. Hollywood tries to mess it all up. You can't mess it up. God in love sent His Son down into this world, and this world spit upon His Son. This world beat His Son beyond recognition, and God had to allow it, and the Son had to suffer it, because there was no other way that we could be saved. It was an act of love. And that's why I say we just can't understand the love of God. I wouldn't give my Son for nobody. But there was no other way to keep me from hell,
right,
was for Jesus to go through hell so I could go to heaven.
That's right.
Jesus made the bridge. He made that new and living way, that unspeakable gift. He gave His life a ransom for all. Amen. But Daniel here says, yet heard I the voice of His words. Boy, wouldn't it be good if the world had an ear for His words?
Yes, Lord.
Man, oh man, me and Donnie was coming back. You know, no, I guess that was me and Brother Ed was coming back from down Cromwell, Tennessee, and there was people blowing our doors. Well, yesterday, me and Donnie was going down coming back in Bowling Green. Yeah, we was on 31, and somebody pulled out the pass me, and I mean, I'm sitting there looking at a car right there coming right through me. I just put on the brakes, and they had to put on the brakes too. I'm sitting there thinking, who is this fool? And he went by Donnie. He done the big rubberneck over, and he said some idiot with his dog. But you know what? They seen the license plate I had on the back of my truck with me and Brother Ed. They didn't like it. They passed me and Brother Ed like we sitting still, no matter how fast you're going.
Yeah.
And me and Donnie, I think we was in the truck too. But on the back of my truck, you know, I got magnetic signs back there. Most people, they don't want to hear the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to know there's a day coming they're going to stand before God and give an account. They just want to live their way, their day, and leave them alone. But Daniel says, yet heard I the voice of His words.
That's right.
And when I heard the voice of His words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. You remember what happened to John when he heard the words? He became like a dead man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So both of these men had a lot of the same experience, and people don't understand. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. But verse 17 of Revelation chapter 1, John here says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead.
Right.
He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I'm the first and the last. So Daniel, he falls in a deep sleep on his face, and my face towards the ground. He's laying face down. He's done seen more than he's expecting.
Yeah.
He done heard more than he's expecting.
Yeah.
Verse 10, and behold, a hand touched me. Thank God that God don't leave us in that condition. And the same one that told John, fear not, I'm the first and the last, Alpha and Omega, he says, and a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. I want you to know he's speaking encouraging words to Daniel. Daniel's scared to death. I want you to know in a minute here he talks about him trembling. And it will be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord, fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10, I think it's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, I think. And you know these Muslims, and I ain't got anything against Muslims. They just like me, they just need to get saved.
Amen.
And these Jehovah's Witnesses, these Mormons, morons, whatever you want to call them. And you know, all these people, I just say this to all of them. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Yeah.
They have no understanding of God, and yet they're going to have to, they've got much to do with Him. They're going to have to give an account to God, and it's going to be quite an event.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire.
Yeah.
They're going to find out that God's nothing to to mock, make fun of. It's going to be a great awakening there. Daniel here, he met God in good terms. And this one that he saw clothed said to Daniel, "O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you, unto thee." You know, the Bible said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God.
Yeah.
Somebody said, "I can't understand the Bible." Well, you can if you ask for help.
That's right.
And you'd be surprised what you get out of reading the Bible. I'm on my 18th time of reading it through. And I remember the first year I read my Bible through, James chapter 1 verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." God will give you understanding if you want it.
Yes, he will.
But the first time I read my Bible through, Bonnie, I spent that whole year on my knees. I mean, I read a little and I get down and I say, I'm sorry. I was sorry, I just didn't know how sorry I was until I read the Bible through.
Right.
It will take all the veneer off of all that you think of yourself as far as having any righteousness at all. It stripped me of every bit of righteousness I had and showed me the real me.
That's right.
And in the mirror of God, I have to admit, I had no problem realizing I was lost and undone.
That's right. Amen.
But he said, "Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling." I want you to know this is a fearful event. I told you a while ago that Daniel, he'd already fell on his face. Now he's trembling. Even though this vision, this person here, which is incarnate Jesus Christ in an angelic form, he said, "I've come." And he calls him a man greatly beloved. And he said, "I've come to help you understand this vision." And Daniel here, he stands trembling. And Paul, which was Saul, before he ran into Jesus on the road to Damascus, he had this to say about Jesus. I think it's 2 Corinthians to the 1 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, Paul, as he's on his way to Damascus with letters in his hand to arrest all of those that bear the name of Jesus, he had borne a close encounter. He had a head-on collision with Jesus. Here's what he said about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Now, he had a first-hand encounter, so it wasn't like he had to make anything up. He's like, you know, I'm lucky to be alive. But God had already chosen him and told that he would suffer many things for his name's sake. So Daniel here, as he's trembling in an effort to encourage him, this incarnate Christ, verse 12, "Then said he unto me, Fear not." You remember Jesus, he'd show up his disciples, he'd say, "Fear not." He'd say, "Peace be unto you."
Right.
Well, that's the same thing here. He said, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." You see, Daniel had humbled himself. He had mourned for 3 full weeks. He had eaten nothing or drank nothing. And these three weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, he got an answer to all his efforts there to seek the Lord. And this incarnate Christ, he said, "For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard." You know, sometimes God doesn't answer as fast as I'd like for him to answer, Sharon. She's wanting her storm door. And it won't take long to get it up, but we got to get it to get it up.
Yeah.
We got a new door here. It didn't take them long to get that up, but Ed said they had to wait on it to get here. But anyway, God, his time
right.
It's not like my time. I want it now.
Yeah.
God tells me in due time
that
He'll answer or He'll help or whatever. But this incarnate Christ tells Daniel, He said, "For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard." You know, just because you don't get an immediate answer, just know this, your words are heard.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I am come for thy words." Daniel's wanting understanding. He's wanting, you know, an explanation. He's wanting insight. And this incarnate Christ, He said, "I am come for thy words." Verse 13 talks about the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Me and Brother Ed was talking about battles, war in heaven, devil, and God and all of that. This delay was because the devil didn't want Daniel to get an answer. He didn't want him to get any help. And you know, the devil, Jesus told Peter, "Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat."
Yeah.
The devil's not your friend. He's your adversary. He's like the roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And the incarnate Christ here that Daniel has seen, he tells him, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. 21 days. This prince of the kingdom of Persia, which is a reference to Satan, I think it's in Daniel 12. Well, I can't remember where I read that at. But this resistance or withstanding by this prince of Persia, that happens several times. It may be in this chapter here. Maybe I'll pick up on it here in a minute. But it was holding back what Daniel was seeking. It caused this delay 21 days. He said, "But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days." And this is important, "for yet the vision is for many days." Now Daniel is seeking something that's a long ways off. John, you know, he really wasn't seeking nothing. He just said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. God showed up." But Daniel, he's actually seeking God in this vision here and wanting to know what it means. And the whole book of Daniel, in the latter part of it, is about him trying to find out what all these visions mean. He's the one that's interpreted the vision of Nebuchadnezzar. He's the one interpreted the writing on the wall for Belshazzar. Now he's wanting help interpreting this vision that he's received himself. And the angel tells him the vision is for many days. It's hard to understand something when it's a long ways off.
Yeah.
And verse 15, "And when he had spoken such words to me, I set my face towards the ground and I became dumb." What Daniel's asking for is bigger than he realizes, and it covers a whole lot of territory. And you know, me and Brother Ed was talking about, we get to have one of that perfect knowledge. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
Man, I got a lot of questions down here right now. I ain't got perfect knowledge.
No.
But when I get to heaven, we'll understand everything.
Yes.
There won't be no, "Why did this happen?"
Yeah, that's right.
"Why did this one have to die? Why did this?" Why did, we'll understand it all. One thing that helps me understand some of the things that's hard to understand is a verse in Isaiah 57, verse number 1. This verse is a very unique verse. It says, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth to heart, and merciful men are taken away. None consider it that the righteous is taken away from the evil that's to come." Sometimes God intervenes because the road gets so rough that the Lord brings someone home so they won't have to suffer the lights of what's coming their way. God intervenes there.
Right.
And, you know, He's not only a good Savior, a good Shepherd, but He's also a good friend. Sometimes He says, you know, what I do now you don't understand, but later you will. Takes us home and still leaving us here to go through a cancer or go through amputations, go through whatever kind of hardship. Yeah. Lord says, let's just go home. Amen. I say, sounds good to me. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
But Daniel here, he again falls to the ground. And when it says he became dumb, I mean, he just can't rationalize what's being told him. And he's a little confused. Verse 16, and behold, one likened to the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. He didn't really, I don't guess, expect all that he's enduring right now.
No.
You know, he may have been just plain old speechless. I said he came dumb. He could have been speechless because he said he touched his mouth and then he spake. And as he's speaking, he said, I got nothing to go on. I need help here. And verse 17, for how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. I mean, Daniel's experienced something here that the Word of God really doesn't go in detail. But the best I can tell, he's without any strength, without any breath. He's speechless, just really down to nothing. Verse 18, and then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. He got help. Even though he was no breath, even though no strength, even though he was speechless, this angel, one, he said, then there came and again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. I'm going to say it was an angel. I don't know. Some of this stuff's over my head. It don't take too many chapters like this right here to show how little you do know. I'm telling you, ain't nobody going to champion what we're teaching on today. Verse 19, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Now you recognize that statement right there, peace be unto thee. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus spoke to his disciples. He said, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Now Daniel, he's all the way down, I mean, to nothing. Now he's been strengthened, and now he says, speak, my Lord, for thou hast strengthened me. So they had to get Daniel in a condition to be able to hear and to be able to have the conversation with the Lord that he's wanting to have. Verse 20, then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. That's what I was looking for a while ago. That prince of Persia withstood him, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood him 21 days. And now that he's spoken here with Daniel, he said, now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. Now that statement there, Michael, your prince, pertains to the Jewish people. And Daniel chapter 12, it says, at that time, verse 1, shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one, it's written, in the book. This is a prophecy that a vision that Daniel got. Is a prophecy about the great tribulation, about all of the powers that are going to be involved, all of the problems that are going to be involved, all the people that are going to be involved in this great tribulation. And when he mentions here in verse 21, he says, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture." We've got the Word of God to help us navigate the waters.
That's right.
And I tell Brother Ed, I'm glad I'm not going through the tribulation. Man, I'll tell you right now. Not only do I not want to be down there with the devil walking around, even though he is walking around, he's going to be in charge. Right now, he's just kind of like an adversary. But he will be given power during the tribulation. And we see a little bit of abuse of power right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a lot, but a little bit like put your mask on. You will take this shot or else. And you do this or else. And they're locking up people. And, you know, teachers losing their jobs. Pilots, you know, saying enough of this, quitting their jobs. Policemen quitting their jobs. You can see the results of the abuse of power by some of the things going on in our day. But when the devil is given power...
Yeah.
Buddy, I don't know who. I only know one that can stop him. We can, you know, we can probably survive the things that's going on in our day if we take the right course of action.
Yeah.
I was telling Brother Ed this morning that the thought came to me this morning as I was praying that David showed us how to handle a giant.
Yeah.
And one key word, I mentioned this to Donnie also yesterday, one key word was Goliath said to little David that he disdained him. In other words, he looked on him like, "Who are you, you little runt, you know, threat to me?"
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't really put any value at all in little David. And yet little David said, "You come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." David showed us how to handle the technology giants, how to handle, you know, the rich, the politically powerful. He showed us how to handle them. Come to them in the name of the Lord. David said, "The Lord will deliver you into my hand." And he said, "This day I'll take your head off." Boy, head busting runs in our family. And I think right now, we don't realize the power that we have to exercise. And I think we're really under the power of fear. More than Brother Ed mentioned a while ago about the Spirit. And God said, "Not by power nor might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord."
Amen.
We really have all the power we need.
Yes.
To accomplish all that's against us. You know, they're shutting churches down. There's preachers quitting. There's people quitting. But you know what? Right now is not a time to cower down. Now's the time to stand up.
Amen.
And little David,
right,
even though all of Israel was cowered down, and they were, you know, kind of being held at bay by one man.
Right.
But he's a big man.
Right.
And he was belittling them. It was intimidating to them to see this big man. "Give me a man! Come on out! Let's get it on! If he can whoop me, well, we'll be your servants. If I whoop him, y'all be our servants." And he belittled Israel. And you know, he intimidated them and made them afraid to come out. And there's somewhat of that going on today.
Yeah.
But little David showed them that through God, they could have victory. And the Lord gave David that victory. And the victory was the Lord's. They wrote songs about it.
Mm-hmm.
"I give it to thee, for the battle is thine." In our case, it's no different. We've got all kind of giants breathing down our throat, down the back of our neck, trying to see what they can get away with. I'll tell you what they can get away with. They can only get away with what you let them.
Amen.
Now, me and Donnie was talking to a man this week. This man, I grew up with this man. I've known him all my life. I didn't know he was a preacher until just a while back. But his house burnt to the ground. And he had insurance, but his loan was through Fannie Mae. And it was a government loan, and the insurance company wrote the check to him and to Fannie Mae. So he had to send the check to Fannie Mae to get them to sign it. He done signed the back of it. To get them to sign it so he could rebuild his house. Well, you know how the government is. They kept the check. So he called them up and went around and around and around and nothing. He said, finally, he said, I had it up here. And he said, I called them up there. And I said, look, I'm a God-fearing man. And I'm going to pray for you. And hung the phone up. And he said it wasn't too long. He got a check in the mail for $23,000. Because, see, he done told these contractors start building his house. And they'd already started constructing. He didn't know it was going to end up like it was. But you know what he did, Sharon? He said, I'm a God-fearing man, and I'll pray for you. At least they gave him a little money. Yeah. Father, we thank you for this lesson today. Help us to be doers, not hearers only.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll stop right there. We only got two more chapters. We'll be done with that.